Creating IED. Brainstorming IED.
Brainstorming with Dan.
Yeah,
should we introduce ourselves? You know who we are.
You know who we are. My friend, he does a very cool charity called Books for Heroes, where he sends books overseas to soldiers. They're doing a short story anthology connected to that, and he asked me to participate, which is awesome, but it is specifically military thrillers, which I've never written before.
Okay.
And so I don't really know what to do. I asked him if I could throw in some supernatural elements, and he said yes. And I was telling Howard about this idea last week, and he gave me the coolest title ever, which is IE Demon, which I think is such a cool, like, Afghanistan.
IED is, yes, you know, yeah, improvised explosive IED. Device.
And so I would like to use that title.
Improvised explosive demon.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, no, just IE demon, not yes. Improvised explosive.
Okay.
It's Internet Explorer demon, which is much more destructive.
Okay. So we are brainstorming IE demon for you.
I have that title, and I have a couple of ideas, and I have nothing else.
Okay.
Well, what are the couple of ideas you
have? Okay, well, so one, for example, is to just go right with the IED, you know, the little bomb that is hidden in the road that they can trigger and blow up a passing convoy of soldiers. And if that is a demon, you know, say the Taliban or whatever have, they've run out of resources, they don't have actual bombs anymore, and so they've made a pact with horrible dark forces from beyond, and they've got a demon buried under the road, and when a tank drives over it, they chant and it explodes, and out comes a demon and starts eating people.
You know, an alternative to that is the demon is being provided by Halliburton as armor that's under the Humvee. There are demons riding under the Humvees whose job it is to absorb the killing blow of the explosive.
So now you've got good demons.
Well, or not necessarily really good demons. I mean, if the IED goes off in the wrong way, you end up with loose demons who are injured and angry.
Okay. Yeah. So on one side, the Taliban is demonic consulting. On the other side, it is the U.S. military who is
I'll be honest with you. The first idea was the first one I went to, and you know, at risk of cowing to political correctness, portraying terrorists as demon worshippers.
Yeah, there it is problematic.
Is problematic. Portraying Halliburton as demon mongering is just funny.
Yeah.
Yes, though it is a charity to support soldiers. Correct.
Yes, there's a definite element of fan service, so to speak, in the anthology.
Yeah, and so there is that. Like, if you're considering where it's coming from, painting the soldiers as using demon technology.
The way I'd roll with this is, I mean, a common theme in military fiction is your equipment was built by the lowest bidder.
Okay.
And the idea that somebody built armor and
somebody
got the lowest bid,
undercut Halliburton,
and so the soldiers don't know what's in here, and you have them fighting a runaway demon as a result of the IED going off.
Now that's cool.
Yeah, that
I love that idea.
That is a great deal of fun.
Now the lowest, question
because the lowest.
Do you need me to write it for you now, Dan?
No. Yes, please.
That's awesome.
And I'm also going to point out that Partials has a fair bit of military.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of military fiction kind of stuff in Partials.
Now here's the question I want to ask you, Dan.
Okay.
Do you want this to be alternate history or alternate Earth? Meaning, demons are common, or maybe not common, but known of. And so if we go with Howard's concept, you know, the lowest bidder, you're not sure what weird magic they used in this armor.
Because I can see that. It could be a world in which the lowest bidder is the one who happens to have discovered demon summoning. Or, like you're saying, it could be an alternate Earth where the low bidder is the one who didn't use the right kind of chalk in the circle.
Right.
And so the demon's a lot more likely to break out.
Or they, you know, you don't normally build armor out of demons, but it could be an alternate universe where, like, wait a minute, they built our armor out of demons, and that rather than, you know.
Yeah, I think, well, how long is the story?
That's a good question.
At least 2,000 words, probably not more than 5 or 6.
Okay, so what you're talking about is a short story. The idea that we have thrown in that your body armor, your vehicle armor, has occult properties that are problematic when it gets hit in a certain way mm-hmm. is sufficient idea to carry a story of
yeah.
that length.
Yeah. yeah, and it's not too big.
It's not too big. I would actually lean, I would move away from alternate universe
okay.
and put it in our universe so that you can leverage as many of the things that the soldiers who are reading these are familiar with so that when there's an element that is new, they recognize it as new. I mean, they're your target audience.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you still make them out to be the heroes because now they have to go kill the runaway...
Better than kill, actually. The IE is improvised explosive. So what if they repurpose the demon?
Oh, that's clever.
You know, they are trapped, they're behind enemy lines, mm-hmm. their armor has failed because the lowest bidder used
the Humvee is upside down yeah. and the demon is loose.
The mm-hmm. demon is loose, and one of them realizes that they can use the demon as an improvised explosive device to defeat the enemy.
They bind it to the shell in their, you know, the rocket in their rocket launcher, and they're like, all right, let's just send this baby that way. We can't contain him.
And if you wanna lean towards humor, I mean the TLA, the three letter acronym. Mm-hmm. is huge. IE demon, and you end with RP gremlin. Okay? Where rocket-propelled grenades.
Because I was only coming up with role-playing game, and I'm like, I'm going.
rocket-propelled gremlin, where they've trapped the demon, bound it to a grenade, and fired it into the enemy, where it bounces around and wreaks havoc and they get loose. And I mean, I don't right. know how you want to yeah. wrap that up, but there you have a little bit of symmetry in title. And yeah, sorry, right. I went for the easy joke.
No, I like that.
That's actually very clever.
I like the gremlin thing also, potentially. It's a way you could go is the demon is a makes things break demon rather than a I'm going to slaughter you all, because I think that might play into, you know, soldiers in the field, you're right here, and our stuff keeps breaking. Is kind of like, you know, can't we get anything to keep working?
Because gremlins have been part yeah. of the military for a long mm-hmm. time.
And they find out that indeed a gremlin is found.
That's how the demon was supposed to work. Okay, yeah. so we're playing with demon and gremlin interchangeably. Yeah. You mm-hmm. can, for purposes of your quick mythology primer for the soldiers, gremlin is a demon subtype.
Yeah.
Sure.
yeah.
For purposes of this. Yeah. Okay. They bound a gremlin into the armor because the whole point of the gremlin is as it goes over the explosive device and the explosive device goes off, the gremlin,
yes.
in an act of self-preservation, makes it fail.
There we go.
Yep.
Makes
yeah.
it fail.
Yes.
But he doesn't make it fail well enough. It's damaged. The Humvee flips over. The gremlin mm-hmm. demon is now loose and nothing works.
Can the demon's name be Snafubar?
Yes, it can.
It's your story.
I want to hand this back to you.
Okay.
Where do you want us to go with our brainstorming session from here? What is working for you? What is not working for you? Do you want us to start talking about a character?
Well,
or?
I think character might be the next way to go, but let's look at the considerations of this. First mm-hmm. of all, I love the idea. I really, really like Howard's ideas of using a gremlin specifically for its malfunctioning properties.
Yes.
Let's make the IEDs malfunction as we drive over them, and therefore we're protected. That suggests to me that we might want this to be an alternate Earth.
Well, you could just go with the idea of, we have this new device. We wanted, mm-hmm. you know, them the bidding to happen, and they came through, and we've got this new thing, and they're working real well on the other armors, and so we're
yeah.
going to get one. And then put someone in the
team. We don't know how it works,
yeah.
but it does. What that means is that we have, you know, approximately 5,000 yeah. words to present the technology,
yes.
to show the attack.
Mm-hmm.
The soldiers figure out what's going on,
yes.
and then turn it to their own ends.
Yes.
Now, it's actually
really easy to do the setup on this because you have a couple of soldiers who are in the Humvee who are talking about the new armor.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what they're saying, you know, one of the guys is saying, look, the new armor has never actually been field tested. An IED has not gone off under it yet. All we've had is, you know, fizzles and whatever else. And the other guy says, yeah, but that's exactly how it's supposed to work. I don't know. It's like magic. And, you know, he can say those exact
yeah.
words.
Mm-hmm.
It's like magic.
Well,
it rolls over the top and the IEDs fail. That's what it's supposed to do.
That's what I'm wondering now is... Mm-hmm. is our character, it seems like we need a character who is at least passingly familiar with the supernatural.
Someone who can identify a gremlin.
One of the things that I was going to say is, you know, if this is an alternate history, but contemporary, it seems like you would have a branch of the military who specialized in this.
Yeah.
You know, so that you have your gremlin specialist.
That's true.
I think that's too big for this story.
I can see this going either way.
But I could do that in 500 words.
Whether it's real or whether real world or alternate world, either way, we need a character who can identify
The gremlin.
That it's a gremlin, and then B, figure out how to bind it to a grenade.
Now, I would suggest, if I were writing this story, that the main character who figures out how to bind it to a grenade is not the expert in the gremlins. There is someone else in the team who acts as a sidekick information repository. That's because if you give your main character too much expertise in what's going on, you won't, he or she won't feel like a fish out of water in the same way that I think we want the reader to feel.
Yeah.
You know, piece of a military trope, if you will, is reading the field manual in the field while under fire. You know, they've come under fire, there's a problem, you know, what the heck has gone wrong, this armor piece came open, there's smoke coming out of this hatch, and now suddenly everything's broken. Let me look at the field manual.
Wait, and there's a classified section.
What are these symbols here in the field manual?
No, I would love that, like, okay, if this happens, break the seal on the back. They're like, what? And you open it and it says, your gremlin has escaped. And they're like, what?
Please sit down to read section 7.
If you have a shoe leather MRE, which is, I think it's the chicken breast MRE is the one they refer to as shoe leather. If you have a shoe leather MRE, please open, you know, packet number 3. The gremlins will totally go for this. And
they're like,
I gave all those away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That would be a wonderful way to go.
That could work well. The other direction, which I'll throw out, I don't know if it's a better idea, is to actually have somebody there, you know, riding along with them who's part of the field test.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The government the contractor who's like, oh no, you know.
Yeah, the little weasel guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other option would be to really just completely pop culture it and have one guy on the team who's a D&D guy. And he's like, dudes, this is a gremlin. And everyone else is like, no, it's not. What are you going to do, a saving throw? And he's like, it's a gremlin.
Mm-hmm. No, watch. And he reaches into his pocket and pulls out a fistful of D6s, says, watch this, and throws them, and they all come up ones. No, watch, again, ones.
It's a gremlin.
What else could that be?
It's a gremlin.
The one thing that, since we're starting to move towards talking about cast, is that this has to be, if your cap is 5,000 words, this has to be a tiny, tiny cast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is one of the challenges with military fiction, is that you usually have a troop of people moving together.
Right.
So you need to come up with a way to make sure that you only have probably no more than three characters.
Well, a bomb going off could thin the ranks.
Yes.
But that's horrible to do to soldiers.
Mary's the expert here. You cannot, I would say, can't you have like 3 named characters and then the rest of the squad that you don't, you know, that are there? There's like 8 of them, but 3 are involved in this, and the others, like, you two watch perimeter, you two, you know, do
yeah,
this.
You can,
and
yeah,
the,
I mean, you,
the
you,
other thing, the other thing yes. that works, the, yeah. the Humvee is part of a convoy, and a radio call comes in for the spook. You know, we need him back at base right now. Turn around and come home. Now, we're by, how many do you want us to peel up? Just you guys. This is, you know, against procedure, not supposed to do this. Look, you just cleared this road, you know, you're fine, come on home. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, then we have an isolated single vehicle, 5 or 6 people, only 2 of whom or 3 of whom are going to be carrying plot-wise. The other guys are, you know, holding down the perimeter with weapons.
I want to go back to what Brandon said, because what he's talking about is, with the unnamed characters, is not keeping them in the scene, but giving them a reason to go someplace else.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's an important thing, important distinction.